All right, welcome to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch on this here show. I'm having just a difficult time here trying to get that sized, if you'll pardon the expression, sized.
Well, you should just get rid of that.
Well, what we have on our homepage, you'll notice, is a coupon, and it's just a bit of nostalgia. You know, there's a throwback Thursday, there's a flashback Friday, all this fun stuff, and we've got a terrific bunch of guys that work with us now in our social media. And John says to me, John Mason said, Phil, have you got any pictures for flashback, Friday or throwback Thursday? I said, well, and occasionally I'll send him, I think I sent him a picture of myself.
That Little League picture's pretty funny.
I sent a picture of myself at Little League. There's a little picture of me there with my mates in our Little League uniforms. And then I had one of myself, which is kind of a funny picture. And I now know why the adults, sometimes adults will just let a kid make a jackass out of himself. It's a picture of me with my kid sister and my flies wide open,
Well, but it's adorable. I've seen that picture.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure it's adorable. But were it me at that time in my life, I would have said, well, my fly's open. Let me zip, but they probably thought it was funny, In this particular throwback picture that we have on our homepage here, it's a 50% off any steak combo Ted's of Beverly Hills coupon. And this was a pretty funny thing. I thought it was fun. It was a Ted's of Beverly Hills coupon that we gave out during a broadcast of our show from the Museum of Television and Radio in Beverly Hills. And I think this is like a 10-year-old event or something, maybe a little bit more recent than that. And what was funny is the late, great Sam, who was our security guy, he took this thing with one of his, him and Sam and Ray, and they said, or Doc, Sam and Doc.
You thought of Sam and Ray because they were singers?
I thought of Sam and Ray, the singers. Yeah, no, it was Sam and Doc, and they took this and they went to the address. Because these guys, as well as they knew me, I guess they didn't put two and two together.
It was Nate and Al's, right?
Yeah, it's Nate and Al's. Nate and Al's, a very famous delicatessen in Beverly Hills. It's across the street, I think, from the Museum of Television and Radio. So, long story short, they show up with this Ted's of Beverly Hills coupon thinking they're going to get half off of a steak combo, and they're like, they don't even know from, what the hell is this, Ted's of Beverly? So, anyway.
Well, where is Ted's?
You'll never know. All right, Dr. Ron Tarner is going to join us on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL, and, of course, online at philhenryshow.com. Dr. Tarner at the Mountain Meadow Observatory in Cloverdale, Colorado. And Dr. Tarner, it's good to speak with you. How are you?
Hey, Phil, how are you doing?
Good, good. And how is your son?
Oh, well, thank you very much, Phil. He's doing very well.
And the family is... Where do you spend Christmas?
Well, we're going to have Christmas at Jared's grandparents' house, which is my mother and father. We'll be in Denver for that. He's going to spend time with his mother in Denver as well. So it's going to be an action-packed, I can assure you, a holiday.
Well, good for you guys. We want to talk to you about the astronomical or scientific implications involved in ancient civilization. We're not going to talk about Mayan doomsday because that's over. But I got to talking last hour about the...
Now you don't want to talk about the Mayan doomsday at all.
Unless you have something to add.
Well, the only thing that I have to add, Phil, is what a lot of people have said, that you said, which was the Mayans, the only doom that they predicted was their own. And then the other comment that I wanted to make about the doomsday predictions of the Mayans was that doomsday falls for us every day. And so the Mayans, in their own way, were not half wrong at all. The Mayans were absolutely right. Today was doomsday for some people. And if you think of it in that context, if someone was poo-pooing the doomsday, let's say, or the concept of Mayan doomsday, and their life came to an end today, or if you will, yesterday, I guess today is the... 22nd, is it?
Yes. I think today's the 22nd, yeah.
Well, let me double check.
Well, I think it all it takes is a little bit look on the calendar. You can see what day it is.
What day is it, bud?
Just checking now.
Stand by.
It's the 22nd, Phil. I just looked at my watch.
Okay, it's the 22nd.
Stand by.
No, not stand by. We got the date.
I have the date already, bud. It's the 22nd of December.
That's correct, yeah.
All right, he has verified it.
Thank you.
Boy, you either have a very cracked staff, Phil, or you've got a very cracked staff. A cracked staff.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, so don't shake your head, okay?
Is she shaking her head? I could see her sitting there going, like, boy, that was rotten.
Well, it was rotten, Rod. I'm sorry.
All right, well, Margaret, the next time they pull you out of bed and get you on a microphone and have you perform on a radio show with about a 5-minute notice, you let me know.
I'm sorry, Ron, if it's inconvenient.
No, no, it's fine. It's fine. I just I tried to get off a cutie, and everyone let it lie there and bleed to death. You know, jokes are like sick people, Phil. You can help them, or you can let it lie there and bleed to death. And that's what you people did to that.
It wasn't much of a joke, Ron. It wasn't much of a joke. And I know that you have a sensitivity to that, given the fact that Stephen Hawking, who you have a long-standing feud with, wins a lot of these joke competitions.
Well, there's not a lot of these joke competitions. What we have here at Mount Meadow and some of the other scientific installations and institutions, as well as the universities, we have an annual joke festival, if you will. And these are jokes and routines that are sent in by members of the scientific community from around the country. Hawking generally wins because he has become adept at writing these Polish jokes, which I find racist.
Can you tell any of them?
No, I don't want to hear any if they're racist.
No, Phil's right. I will not tell any of them. They're the typical jokes, you know. How many does it take to screw in a light bulb? And I don't find them funny at all, but he wins constantly. And so if there's a sensitivity I have at all to jokes, it's that the joke competition that we have as scientists, Hawking continually hijacks with his cheap, dirty little jokes. And that's what I resent.
All right, let's not talk about that, if you don't mind.
I appreciate that, yeah.
But you're saying that Stephen Hawking writes Polish jokes?
Yes, virulently, violently anti-Polish. You say he has, if I could just say this one thing, Phil.
Go ahead, then I really do want to move on.
If you look at Stephen Hawking's, stationery, and he sends out things on his own stationery because he still uses snail mail, or sometimes he has in his faxes, or his email, I should say, the Stephen Hawking insignia, which is a picture of John Cassavetes in the film Dirty Dozen saying, you slob, you slob.
What is that?
Is that the Dirty Dozen?
That's what I just said. I don't stutter.
All right. I understand that, Ron. I'm just trying to get... And he has a picture of Cassavetes.
Yes, he's got a picture of John Cassavetes. This is the Stephen Hawking stationery. You understand what I'm talking about?
Yes, I understand.
All right. And in the stationery that he has a picture of John Cassavetes, and underneath it, it says, you slob, you slob.
You slob, you slob, which is a scene in Dirty Dozen where John Cassavetes is caught trying to break out of this compound by Charles Bronson and Jim Brown, and they won't let him do it because he's going to screw it up for the rest of them. And he looks at Bronson, who is, his character is Slavic. He says, you slob, you slob.
All right, and then what?
And then Bronson and Brown beat the crap out of John Cassavetes and drag him back into the barracks, and that's the end of that.
Yeah.
But Stephen Hawking with a picture of John Cassavetes yelling, you slob, you slob.
Yeah, that's his feeling about Polish. Polacks. Not Polacks, but Polish.
God.
All right, anyway, let's get to our discussion now of Mayan civilization.
I hope I haven't put anybody off.
Well, you've put me off to Stephen Hawking.
I have not been put off to Stephen Hawking, by the way. I'd like to, if you don't mind, judge for myself.
Well, what do you think you're going to do, Phil? Sit down and have a drink with him sometime? Jesus.
Yeah, I think I'd like to just judge for myself. All right, folks. Dr. Ron Tarner is with us. When we come back, we will talk about the scientific achievements, the other achievements and developments of ancient civilization. And is there anything to this idea that ancient civilizations had any kind of view into the future, into the life sciences that the rest of us did not? We'll be back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. On the and tell Ron we'll be with him in just a minute, if you don't mind. On our homepage, you will see a picture of yours truly, Phil Hendry, with a very great man. I call him a very great man because he is, Dr. Hamlin Emery. And Dr. Emery is my doctor. He's also a brilliant guy in that he was one of the first people to begin testing. I'm going to have to remove this from the side. I'm going to tell you something right now. This is pissing me off.
Phil, you are on the air. Quit fooling with it.
Yes, mother. I was trying to get a picture there of I'll get it up. Excuse me. I didn't mean to say I'll get it up. I'll get the picture up there.
You'll get it up.
Yeah. Anyway, he's a great guy, and I'll tell you more about him when we have some more time. But right now, I don't want to waste the time of my guest here, Dr. Ron Tarner, on the line with us. Dr. Tarner, welcome back. So enough about Stephen Hawking and his Polish jokes. We want to discuss the Mayans and other civilizations. Is there a civilization anywhere that you would consider to be superior? One in the past that had it all over modern society?
Well, no, I don't think in the context of what we have to deal with in modern society. I will say one thing, though, Phil, that I was reading some comments on social media last night, and as will often happen, some individual will get on there and begin to pontificate about something that he knows nothing about. In this case, the individual was saying that the Mayans had not yet figured out the Bronze Age, as opposed to the Europeans who had. And again, missing the point entirely, the Mayans did not figure out certain sciences because they didn't need to. Human development and human invention is based upon need. If the Mayans had no need to develop weapons with which to wage effective war, then they did not need to develop those weapons because they didn't live in that environment. The Europeans lived in an extremely warring environment. There were wars constantly for the resource-rich areas of Europe, whether they were the forests, the rivers, the mineral resources, and so forth. Though the Europeans developed very quickly bureaucracies, militaries, and consequently war. For the Mayans, that was not the case, and a lot of that has to do with the geography. The Mayans lived in an area that was difficult to get to because of the north-south orientation or axis of the continent they were on. The Europeans, on the other hand, had a great many travelers from the east visiting them, and yes, at times, attacking armies. So to say that the Spaniards were able to conquer the Mayans because the Mayans had figured out something is racist. The Mayans would have figured it out had they had the need to.
Well, all right, but let's put it this way.
You understand, I will not abide any racist...
I'm not going to say anything racist.
All right.
I'm just saying when the need did arise, it was too late.
Well, yes. I mean, if you want, the Mayans were defeated in a sort of a blitzkrieg by the Spanish with an array of weaponry, an arsenal of weaponry that the Mayans had not even conceived of because, again, they didn't need that. Now, unlike the victims, let's say, of the Nazi blitzkrieg, the Polish, the Mayans didn't have allies that could come to their aid and say, oh, we know what that is. We have ships like that. We have ordnance like that. We have weapons like that. We will give them to you. The Mayans were on their own. And the only other civilizations nearby certainly had as much, but not more, than the Mayans in terms of development. So it always seems to gall me when I hear people talking about these societies being inherently or racially inferior. No, that wasn't the case at all.
All right, I understand that. Now, what about the idea that the Mayans had, or any civilization for that matter, had some secret of life?
Absolute poppycock.
All right, so, the immortality.
No, that's all romantic horse dung based on our longstanding love affair, the human race's love affair with mystery, with culture, and with the exotic. And modern man becomes obsessed with this kind of thing because our lives are mechanical, very well controlled. We have solutions for a great many problems. In other words, boring. Even though God knows we have reason not to be bored, we have a great many things happening all the time in our world that are very, that if we thought about it, we'd be scared.
Like what?
Well, just the state of the world as it exists today politically. Forget about whether there's global warming or just the state of the world, the state of our own country, the things that we're dealing with now.
So, Ron, the Atlantis. Let's talk about Atlantis.
Well, I agree with you. There was no such thing as Atlantis. It never existed. I don't know about it being a predictor of the future. I think that you're right that Atlantis was a mythic creation that meant something to the people that created it originally. It might have been a legend created by a people of ancient Europe to explain the creation of the world. Today, it has no meaning and has no bearing whatsoever on modern man.
Oh, well, all right. So if you say that Atlantis has no bearing on modern man, then the idea that some people use it as a... They believe it's a society that existed.
Well, there you go. That's the human race once again saying that some other people had it more perfect. Some other race understands where we don't. Some other race is in control or has the answer, and if we seek their counsel, we'll have the... This is the very childish aspect of the human race that I call... As a matter of fact, I can't do it justice. Vernon Dozier, who's also an educator that you've spoken to, has what he calls, and you've heard it, he needs his mama.
Vernon Dozier, he needs his wife. I've heard Vernon say that.
Vernon, not Dernan. Did he say Dernan?
Yeah, you said Dernan.
His name's Vernon, Phil.
I know that.
Yeah, but you said Dernan.
Vernon.
All right, well, he's got what he calls Adi by Mama.
Vernon will say that about people that they need their mama. What's the...
Well, don't get upset about it, Phil.
He's trying to explain something, Phil. Why are you getting...
Well, here's the thing. We were having a very nice discussion, and all of a sudden you are falling back on he needs his mama. Isn't there something...
What do you mean falling back on? I think that's a very well-developed thought.
Mr. Dozier's on line two if you want to talk to him.
Who?
Mr. Dozier on line two if you want to talk to him.
All right, Vernon Dozier is on the... Did you call him up?
He called in.
Vernon.
Yeah, Phil. How you doing, Ron?
I'm good. I'm talking to your friend, Mr. Henry.
Yeah, Phil. He needs his mama is simply a way of articulating clearly the human race... is, and the American people in particular, are at a place where we are so disbelieving of the actual evil of the world and so disbelieving of our own capabilities that we decide there's got to be someone bigger and better who can explain it all to us, either the people of Atlantis or some government conspiracy or somebody has control, and that's why I call it the way we're thinking. We got to go find Mama, you know?
Yeah, I understand when you talked about Mama.
Yeah, but no. See, and I think, you know, Ron, I love you and I respect you, but I don't even think you get the emotional impact of this.
I thought it was a very well said.
I know, but when I think of Mama, I think of my own mother who used to kiss me on the lips.
Now, you told me about that.
Well, is that that's emotional for you?
Yes, I think it would be emotional if, as a boy, the last thing your mother did before she dropped you off at school where all your friends could see you is kiss you on the mouth.
That is disgusting, and that's abusive.
Yeah, but it wasn't abuse. Don't call it that, because I love my mother. It was embarrassing.
Well, I think it's more... I think it's abuse.
I think it's embarrassing.
I think it's abuse, too.
I think it's embarrassing.
I think it's embarrassing, too. Not necessarily abuse.
Yeah, I think it's embarrassing and abuse.
Thank you. So the human race and the American people, when they say, oh, well, the government did this, and there isn't real evil, it's just the government, and there isn't real this, and there isn't real that, it's just the government. See, these are people that have too much faith in mommy. You see?
Well, yeah, now I see what you're saying, Phil. There's a little bit of sarcasm there.
There ought to be sarcasm.
Well, when you said he needs his baba as a theorem, I agreed with that, but I didn't know that...
There's a lot of emotional sarcasm involved there. That's why I don't buy this as this some kind of a...
Well, I'm here to tell you, yes, it is some kind of a... Because now we look at Atlantis and Mayans. Can you imagine that? These are people that were naked and had feathers. I'm not saying that they're racially inferior. I'm saying...
Well, I'm trying to get us to look at the history of the human race as a we, not them.
No, I understand that.
All right, hold on. Vernon Dozier and Ron Turner will be back... as we continue our discussion of ancient man, ancient civilizations. Did they really know anything? Did they really have any secrets to divulge? The world famous Phil Henry Show.
Well, I think that the beard is Nana, you see. Yeah, I know, but you're hitting it a little hard. If we go back up the air, you need to back off. You gotta back off of anything.
Phil Henry.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
I just think it's ridiculous.
Margaret, why don't you just let me do what I'm doing?
You're on the air. What are you doing fooling with that?
I was trying to update something. I'm sorry, folks. I'm doing probably too many things at once. Now I'm fine. I just wanted to update something. I mistakenly erased one of the show logs.
The difference is to make. You got to get on the air and perform.
Yeah.
Oh, well, okay. What are you guys, my stage mothers all of a sudden? God.
Well, look at you, and you have a guest hanging on, and you're fooling around with that asinine, and Diane Sawyer is an alcoholic. You understand that, don't you?
Well, isn't that nice? Does that make you feel better to say that about her?
What's going on with you and Diane Sawyer? You got the hots for her or something?
Why do you say something like that?
I'm pointing out something that's very obvious. She's a drunk. A drunk. You want to waste your life with one of those, you go right ahead.
What are you talking about? Her picture's on the blog because that's who we were talking about.
You got a thing for Diane Sawyer. I've heard about it. I believe it. And you want to waste your life with a busted down drunk? Go right ahead.
God, Mr. Henry, don't you understand?
You guys are idiots. I got a picture of her on my homepage because we were talking about her on the show the other night with General Galen Shaw and I believe Dean Wheeler. Okay? Now, let me get back on the line here. I got with me is Ron Tarner and Vernon Dozier. Dr. Ron Tarner and Vernon Dozier joining us, a couple of educators. And we were talking, Vernon, about the tendency of modern people, modern man and Ron, to believe in the mystical superiority or perhaps even the technological superiority of older cultures, especially ancient cultures that we don't know a lot about.
That is great, and I think that's a very key point, and I know Ron would back me up on this. When we have a body of literature, a body of evidence or information on a culture that just stops short of us being able to understand them the way we might more contemporary society, we always seem to, as human beings will, we always seem to attribute to them, well, something that we're not finding out, some superior to some superhuman.
To that point, that's what we're talking about Atlantis, Phil. If Atlantis existed, obviously we don't have a lot of information on Atlantis. And so what we supposedly do know, which is all mythology, we take that to mean that there's some underlying amazing power that Atlantis had. Well, if it was such a powerful civilization, I wonder why it's no longer with us.
And I think a lot of people will say, well, it's no longer with us because something devastating, like they had some power that even we don't have, you know, something heavier than a nuclear bomb. And I think that's just the human race going, you know, Atlantis is almost like a historical mama, you know. And I got to tell you, nothing sickens me more, and Ron knows this, because Ron knows my story intimately and doesn't just spill it out at cocktail parties like I'm given to understand some of your people have.
I think it's very sensitive information.
Well, who spilled it out at cocktail parties?
I talked about your mother kissing you on the mouth because you just told me about it.
Yeah, and then you went to some cocktail party, and I don't know who it was, but you were glad-handing with your cocktail. And you notice I don't get invited to these things.
Oh, my God. Phil, it was an industry function, and they said, who was that man? And I said, well, he's a man that...
Yeah, that's not very nice.
Thank you, Phil.
That's not very nice.
Well, I'm sorry.
The point that I'm trying to make is, you know, people can't just stand on their own two feet. They have to suddenly, they can't just accept the reality of life. They've got to suddenly say, well, I got to go ask my daddy. And that's how we view the U.S. government. And that's how we can't accept, for instance, that there's evil. We have to believe there's got to be some government conspiracy. And all we got to do is go ask Daddy. And it makes me sick to my stomach.
And I think that, you know, Rod, Doctor, are you doc? Are you a doctor?
No, I'm not. You are.
All right. Well, let me just call you Dr. Dozier. How's it feel?
Feels pretty good. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. And you, Dr. Dozier, I think, need to understand that you're emotional about this because your mother kissed you on the mouth.
Yes, but now that this has been spilled out at a tie at a cocktail party, I don't need...
All right, we don't need to talk about that anymore, do we?
Well, it is significant, Phil, because I have a very strong emotional connection to this topic.
And I think, to sum it up, Phil...
By the way, I don't want to be the bad person. You know, you're letting this just hang in the air as if it's me, as if I'm hanging in the air and someone came along and decided to just tug my pants down a little bit.
I don't understand that at all.
No, neither do I.
I'm saying, yes, I said at the cocktail party that your mother kissed you on the lips. You're letting me twist in the breeze with that, Phil.
All right, so we've dropped it.
But is there an apology?
Where is my apology that you were at a cocktail party talking about my mother tongue-kissing me?
Well, I had no idea that's what it was.
I didn't either. I never said anything about tongue.
Well, that's what she did. She slipped a tongue in, too. So, you understand something, Phil, of what we have here...
Well, you're talking about something I'd like you to stop talking about, unless you want to talk to a police officer about it.
My mother's dead. You want them to exhume the body and put it in the prison? Is that what you want?
No, sir, I don't. But I thought if your mother was alive...
And even if she was alive, you want me to take a... She would be now 90-something. You want me to take a 90-year-old old bag and put her in front of a police booking desk and say, this old thing tongue-kissed me. Now take it, stick it in a cage, and then do what you want with it? Is that what you want me to do?
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that people need to be accountable.
Well, guess what? She's accountable now. She's accountable now because she's in the ground and she's a good... I don't know, 6-7 years into decomposition. You pull her out of the ground now, and you've got a Vincent Price movie, my friend. Now, how are you going to live with yourself then?
Okay, you made your point. All right.
Well, the point is the woman's locked dead. There's no...
I understand. I'm just saying that that's an abusive thing to do.
Well, I don't think it was abuse so much as it was just... She was basically drunk, so I think she forgot who she was kissing. Anyway, the point that I'm trying to make here... is that when these people say the U.S. government did it, all they want is, Mama!
Yeah, see the emotion there?
That's very emotional.
Yeah, it's emotional. I'm getting sick and tired of people not taking responsibility for themselves, and all they could do is walk around and say the government did it. Or the Mayans, they know. Or the Egyptians, they know. And that's because they all want to sit there at the feet of their daddy! Yay!
Hello? Okay, his line's got... Ron, are you there?
I'm right here, yeah.
Yeah, you should...
I think we need to lock that man up.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lock him up. Vernon's had a tough life, okay? By and large, he's a good man, he's an educator, and let's not forget those 6 league titles at Belmar Academy.
Oh, let's not forget that. Here we go again with football. You men and your football... If it wasn't for football, we'd be able to lock up half of the war criminals of this world. But they're all out running around because you guys need your football.
Well, what are you trying to say? Is it a football coach is a war criminal? What a stupid... Do you hear that one, Phil?
Well, yeah, I think, Margaret, you know, your point about football being, you know, an obsession, you're right about that. But to say that all football coaches are like Vernon didn't do anything wrong. His mother lip-locked him when he was a kid.
Well, yeah...
So he's not doing anything wrong. He's nuts a little bit, but he's never abused any kids himself. The only problem with Vernon is he's nuts, you know, and he's a very hard-driving guy, and he's a little cuckoo.
What about the fact that he has his wife back the car over his hand?
Wait. I know a little bit about that because Vernon and I have discussed that. Vernon is a part of that movement, Phil, that Dean Wheeler went the mad camp.
Yeah, Dean... Man camp.
Yeah. And so...
What is man camp?
This is that movement where guys want to feel empowered and be men again.
Oh, my. Oh, they sit around and bang drums like they're big He-Men.
Margaret, you know what? You just live to demask...
Demasculate? Get a load of the gloid.
All right, that does it.
Well...
See you later, Ron.
Wait a minute, I didn't do...
You concluded that interview because I called you a gloid.
How many times have I told you not to use that word?
About six.
Then why are we still using it?
Because you angered me.
Because I misused, because I didn't pronounce the word emasculate properly.
Phil, you weren't pronouncing emasculate. You said demasculate. Like you're one of these people with a third grade education. You're trying to pass yourself off as a doctor. Like you got an honorary doctorate at Howard.
What a racist.
Yeah, I heard that.
I am not a racist.
What'd she say?
She said I'm talking like I got an honorary doctorate at Howard.
What's that?
It's an all-black college, don't you know nothing?
Hey.
Well, just take it easy, you guys. So that's what you're saying, huh?
No, I'm not. That is not racist.
Then why did you specify Howard?
Because you're saying, oh, demasculate.
Yeah, that sounds like something that a black guy would say that doesn't have no education.
I'm going to kick your... Hey!
Hey!
See what you're doing?
I didn't do anything.
You know what? I'm going to throw your ass out of here early. I would if it wasn't for the fact that we're coming up on our break. All right, thank you, Dr. Ron Tarner and Dr. Vernon Dozier, an honorary doctorate tonight for that discussion, as limited as it was, concerning the advances of ancient civilizations. Well, they didn't have any advances. They couldn't find their ass with both hands, which I think was the name of a book that Ron Tarner had written, right?
No, you said you wrote it.
Oh, that's right, I wrote it. All right, world famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. And online at philhenryshow.com. This show has hauled ass, man. Now, I want you guys to know that we are gone all next week. We're on vacation. However, the website will be updated daily. Our podcast will be updated daily. And when we can, we will feature on Phil TV in HD some of our classic shows. And also keep in mind that coming up on Monday with Jack Igagdor and Brett Morrison, along with Larry McKinney and Ned Garline, will be the Phil Henry Football League playoffs. They start at 3:00 on Monday afternoon with the LA at Tampa game. And then at 6:00, it's Utah at Portland. And then the Dickman Bowl 1 week from Monday on New Year's Eve. And that will be with Jack Igagdor and Brett Morrison. So that's all on Phil TV in HD and Wang Radio. That's a little update there. And for you folks who do not have backstage passes, because you need a BSP to hear the games and to access all of the thousands of hours of archive material and everything else that we do, if you don't have a BSP, this is the month to get it. This is the month to get your backstage pass, because with it, if you get 1 month of a subscription, you get one free best of CD download. If you get a 6-month subscription, you get three free best of CD downloads. And if you get a 1 year best of subscription, you get five, or you get a 1 year subscription, a BSP, you get five best of CD downloads in our shop. So this is the month to grab a backstage pass at philhenryshow.com. And we'll be right back with the final segment of our show before we take our Christmas vacation and so on and so forth and like that. And Diane Sawyer's mug is finally on the homepage. And no, I ain't got the hots for Diane.
A busted down drunk.
Boy, you really hate her, don't you?
No, but I just know which side of the bread the butter's on. And don't you say it, bud.
Sorry.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
We're going to all that time, man, just to get the homepage updated.
That's Dr. Emery.
That's the very famous Dr. Hamlin Emery. He is a great man on our homepage. Now, let me tell you about this guy, Dr. Hamlin Emery. This is a guy whose work is now well-known internationally, and he's got people, I'm telling you right now, he's got people flying in from Europe to visit him. Here is a guy that, along with Dr. Suffolk, who is his partner, developed a database of EEGs. There are all these EEGs, and the guy, you see the picture there?
Yeah.
That guy, that grinning nut left to the left is me, and you can see, you know, Doc, I think you got some more work to do on Phil Henry. But He developed a database that is now has now been recognized by universities in this country and elsewhere that doctors now can access and prescribe antidepressants, things like that, based upon this database of EEGs. Before, they were just guessing. They were just saying, well, I think I'll give the person drug this because they're acting like that. And it was very, very imperfect. And in any event, Dr. Emery's work is now widely hailed. Look him up online. He's a great guy. Now,
now this is the man. He's very handsome, isn't he?
Yeah, Dr. Emery is kind of like a... he's kind of like a bespeckled, highly educated Robert Culp, in a way. But he was a Marine Corps doctor in Vietnam, and there's a picture of him with in Vietnam with the children that they were working on at the time. He was a pediatric doctor at the time. And then he went back to the States. He got his education at Johns Hopkins and elsewhere. I think he was at Vanderbilt, and he headed west. And since then, you know, he's had his practice and has developed this line of pharmacology, this philosophy. But the thing about him that's interesting, he's kind of an eccentric guy. And I like the doctor because of that. Like one time I called him up and I was on my way to Aspen for the comedy festival. And I said to him, I had to call him up because I needed something. And I call him up and he answers the phone. Phil, I'm sorry I couldn't hear the phone ringing. I was practicing the German cello. And,
what's that?
It's the German cello. It's a musical instrument.
It's a musical instrument, you...
Take it easy. And so that's what this guy's doing. It's like 8 o'clock in the morning. He's practicing his German cello. He's very heavy into music. He's also a guy that works with... as you might imagine, he works with people who have substance abuse problems. And he's just a great man. Really is a great man. And he's helped a lot of people. And, and I'm very proud to say I know him. So if you have a, I would highly recommend you.
Is this a paid political commercial? Because I got to log it if it is.
What a jackass, man.
Why?
What do you mean a paid political commercial?
I mean, I'm sorry, a paid.
No, it ain't paid. I'm saying this out of the good. I'm saying it because I believe it. I ain't getting paid. I'm saying it because I believe it. All right? And that's just where that's at, Jack.
Didn't you say he reminded you of James Joyce?
Well, I saw Doc. The doc walked in one time. If you can see him, he was wearing his he's wearing dark round shades and two-tone shoes. He's very big on two-tone shoes, which I think is pretty cool. Yeah, so he's this cat's he's definitely got it. He's got it going on. I want to be Dr. Emery, which means I'll have to lose another 30 pounds, shave my face, grow some hair. And what else?
And be an ex-Marine.
And be an ex-Marine. Actually, he was a Navy doctor, but yeah, he was with the Marine Corps. Because I don't think they have Marine doctors, do they?
Yeah, they do. You said there was a picture of them.
I think they're Navy guys. In any event, all right, so thank you very much, Dr. Emery, and thank you all for listening to that little description. Wasn't that just Marvy? Okay, so just to recap, over the extended vacation coming up, we will be updating our website daily. We will have our playoff games in the Phil Henry Football League, Dickman America, on Monday, and the Dickman Bowl will be happening on New Year's Eve, December 31st, 1 week from Monday. Be advised that the new rollout, the new look, the new design, the new world, the new marvelous world of the Phil Henry website will be happening by the first of the year. Be advised, as I have told my BSPs, that we have a new Bobby Dooley podcast that is due out, and you're going to enjoy the living hell out of that. I can assure you I will not cop to exactly what the content will be right now. The BSPs know, and the BSPs ain't telling. Like the man said in the movie, Doctor, them that knows isn't saying, and them that isn't saying knows.
What?
Wasn't that Ossie Davis?
Now, I think you've got that wrong, man. You got that way wrong.
Well, something like that. Also, a reminder that our one-man show continues in rehearsal. We are looking, as I said, at a tentative rollout in February or March.
Oh, so here we go. Now you're pushing it back.
Wait a second. I said we were hoping for February, but I want to do this right. And in order to roll this thing out right, you know, you got to have it...
Yeah, don't you understand? Got to have rehearsal.
Don't tell me about rehearsal. I was in show business.
All right, well, then you understand, don't you?
Yes, I understand, but I think that when you said February, I automatically thought it meant for sure.
Even though I said we're hopeful.
Yes, because I really... Well, in any event, this is my request. I want you to update me more on the rehearsal, and I insist on being at the next one.
I apologize for that, Margaret. Yes, you should be.
So when is it?
We're going to do two next week, so probably next Thursday and Friday.
Next week during vacation.
God, man, you're on vacation, you'll still go and do a rehearsal. That's hardcore.
Yeah, man, hardcore.
That ain't hardcore. Yeah, we're going to go out and do our rehearsal next Thursday and Friday, so we will tell you where, and we'll send a car for you.
Thank you. I would expect as much.
Yeah. You realize, folks, that we send a car for Margaret every night.
As well you should.
And the car is waiting for you to go home. That's why you getting up to leave, you know, the car ain't here.
And that's something else I wanted to tell you about. I want the car to stay here. Not that I'm going to leave, but I just like the idea of the driver hanging around smoking cigarettes and... never mind.
Yeah, okay. The world-famous Phil Henry Show is produced by Dan Northcraft and Phil Henry, and we thank the car service, whoever you guys are, for the Margaret Gray car service. And we will see you guys 1 week from Wednesday. We'll be back live. Remember Lions football on Monday, podcasts daily, the Dickman Bowl 1 week from Monday, updates every day on our website. To check out what we're doing, just check out the website, philhenryshow.com. Until then, let that be a lesson to you.
Phil Henry.